The Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we will be reading verses 3 down through verse number 6. And we will be concentrating on verses 4, 5, and 6. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Well, we'll just start verse 7. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Last Sunday morning, we considered the third of my subpoints. I won't go back and give you the outline that we started a few weeks ago, but the subpoints under one of those main points was this. And I really fell in love with these three points. And as I said last week, I hope the Lord willing, the Lord will allow me to preach them again somewhere, sometime. But we considered over the last couple of weeks Martha serving in our text, Matthew or John chapter 12, in verses 1 to 3. We see Martha serving. Spoke quite a while on that. And then we see Lazarus communing at the table with Christ. And we spent some time on that. And then last week, we spent the entire sermon on this thought of Mary worshiping at the feet of Jesus. We open today's sermon by looking at the final detail of Mary's act of worship. We know from last week and from our text that she broke open a very, very expensive box of precious ointment. And she anointed the head, as we see in the other Gospels, and the feet, as we see here in John's Gospel. She anointed the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She did this out of love and thankfulness to Christ. She did so in recognition of who he was. He was a prophet after the manner of Moses, a high priest after the manner of Aaron, and he was a king after the manner of David. And she anointed him not only out of love and thankfulness, but she anointed him out of recognition for who he was. And she anointed him in preparation of his burial, so says the scripture. And she did all of this. She took this very expensive box of ointment. We saw last week it was the value of this box of ointment. The resale value of this box of ointment would have been a year's salary for a poor working man. All right? So you got an average worker, a poor working man, and his year's salary is the value of this perfumed ointment. And she broke it open, and she anointed the head and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ out of love and thankfulness, out of recognition for who he was, out of preparation for the burial that he was about to go through, and then out of an act of genuine worship to Jesus Christ. And we're told by John in the last part of verse number 3, we're told by John that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary had not come to hear a sermon or to sit at his feet to absorb his teachings like she so often did. She had done those things many times before, no doubt, and had benefited greatly in her soul and in her spirit. But she did not come today to hear a sermon or to listen to his teaching. Mary had not come to make her prayer requests known and to express to him her great needs. She had done that before. She had done that earlier as she fell at his feet when her brother had died. But that's not why she's come today. She's not come to hear the sermon or to hear a lesson. She's not come to make her prayer request known. Mary had not come to fellowship and to hang out with the saints. Even though this banquet was at the home of a friend, and no doubt there were many people who Mary would have loved to have visited with, many people who she would have loved to stood by and chatted with, Mary had not come to find refreshment and strength after a hard, long week. It had been, no doubt, an emotional month, a tiring month for Mary. I mean, with the sickness and the death of her brother and all the house guests that come to mourn with her and the funeral service. It had been a long, tiring, exhausting month. And she could have come seeking some solace, a reprieve, but that's not why she's here. No, Mary came for one purpose, to pour out love and thankfulness and worship upon the one whom her soul loved, and to pour out her love and thankfulness and worship upon the one whom the world hated. I mean, you can see in your mind's eye, can't you? She walks past Simon the leper, and she passes by the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she lingered not with her own brother and sister in the flesh, and she pushed her way past the other guest to find the one who was her all in all, to find the one who was the lover of her soul, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And as she poured out that box of precious ointment upon his head and upon his feet, John tells us that that sweet smell, that sweet odor filled the room and then poured out and filled the house. And the entire house smelled like that precious ointment that she had just anointed Jesus with. And it not only filled the house, but Matthew and Mark tell us that this act of worship by Mary would be told everywhere that the gospel was preached. That sweet smelling scent not only filled the room and then filled the house, but it drifted out the doors and windows and wafted into every corner of the world. Mary's worship of Jesus was not only a sweet-smelling odor to that house, but it was a lovely testimony to the world. And it was a sweet-smelling savor to the God of heaven. And those who truly love and worship God in their homes bring a sweet-smelling spiritual fragrance into their home. If you this morning truly love and worship God, that brings to your home a sweet-smelling spiritual savor to your home. Now, I said that Mary didn't come to hear the preaching. She didn't come to make her prayer request known to God. She did not come for the fellowship of the saints. She did not come to find a reprieve from a nerve-wracking month. She came to worship. There's absolutely nothing wrong with coming and hearing the preaching and teaching of God's word. Nothing wrong with coming and letting your request be made known unto God. Nothing wrong with the fellowship of the saints. Nothing wrong with seeking a reprieve from a hectic week or month or year. Nothing wrong with that at all. But there are times in which we should approach God with nothing more than worship on our heart, worship on our tongue, worship in our mind, worship in our voice. Sometimes we ought to just come and worship Him. Sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to do that, to just come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, whenever you have a crowd of people, not everyone is on the same page. Not everyone is happy at a celebration banquet. Did you know that? Not everyone is happy at a celebration banquet. While some people are happy to serve, and some people are happy to fellowship, and while some people are happy to worship, some are only satisfied when they are criticizing and finding fault, and some are only satisfied when they are conniving to do evil. John 12, 4, 5, and 6 says that one of his disciples, it was Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray him, complained and criticized and grumbled because this ointment was not sold and the money given to the poor. The Bible tells us that it was not because that he cared for the poor. It was not because he had concern for the poor. It was not because he loved the poor, but it was because he held the bag and he wanted what was inside. Now listen, Matthew and Mark tell us that some of the other disciples jumped on board with this as well. Judas brought it up, and the others chimed in. The difference between Judas's criticism of what happened to this perfume and the criticism of others was this. Judas was a scheming, greedy, money-loving thief who wanted to get his hands on part of that money if the ointment had been sold and dedicated to the poor. He wanted to get his hands on a portion of that money. That's why he complained. That's why he criticized. That's why he made a stink. And I'm not sure which is worse here this morning, because that's pretty bad. But the other disciples, even though they were not thieves, they thought that giving to the poor a temporary helping hand, because that's what it is when we give to the poor. It's a temporary helping hand. We understand that when we go down on High Street the last Sunday of every month and we set up five tables laden with food and clothing and special needs and toiletries, we understand that those people that walk away with those items, it's only a temporary helping hand. It's only a temporary fix. All right, that food will be gone in no time at all, and those toiletries will be gone within a week or so. We understand it's temporary. And these disciples, not Judas, but the other disciples, thought that giving to the poor a temporary helping hand was of more value than loving and thankful worship to Jesus Christ. I'm not sure which is worse. Judas is bad. Don't get me wrong. He thinks the ointment should have been sold and the money designated to the poor. He did it so he could get his hands on some of the money. But the others thought that giving a temporary helping hand to the poor was of more value than loving and thankful worship to Jesus Christ. Let me say this, that's pretty bad too. That's pretty bad too. And Jesus makes it very clear. You have me here and now. You have me here and now, and one of these days I'm going to be gone. Very soon I'm going to be gone. And when I'm gone, the poor will still be here. While I'm here, let's focus on me. Let Mary worship me. Let her give to me. And then when I'm gone, you can put the focus on the poor, and that still will be focusing on me, Matthew 25. And so, Mary, first of all, it's her own perfume. Nobody's got a right to tell her what to do with it. It's her own ointment. Nobody has a right. She can do what she wants to with it, all right? Your house and your money and your possessions, you have a right to do what you want to do with it, and I have absolutely no say and no complaint about what you do with what is yours. I mean, that's what they said to Ananias. While you had that money in your possession, it was yours to do what you wanted to with it. So first of all, this is her ointment. This is her perfume. Her very expensive ointment. And it's nobody's business what she does with it. She can break it open and throw it on the ground if she wants. Right? It's hers. But she took it and she broke it open and she poured it over the Lord Jesus Christ in loving worship, an act of worship. And Judas complains because he thought it should be sold. The money designated to the poor because he wanted part of it. Other disciples thought it was a waste. They actually said that. It was a waste to pour it on Jesus because they thought the poor were more important than Jesus. There are some tremendous contrasts here between Mary and Judas. Mary gave freely to Christ that which was valued at 300 pence. Judas, right afterwards, went and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Is there any greater contrast than that? Mary took the worth of a year's salary and dumped it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas, just shortly after that, sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What a contrast. What a contrast. I mean, I don't think that you could find anything that was more contrasted than that. Mary is a worshiper. Judas is a thief. Mary draws attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas draws attention away from Christ and onto the poor. Mary is being moved by the Holy Spirit of God to anoint him for burial. Judas, at the very same time, is being goaded by the unholy Satan to betray Jesus Christ. Mary, by her act of love and devotion, even though she has long since died, Mary has found a place in the hearts of all who love the gospel. Mary has found a place in the hearts of all who love the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though she's been dead for 2,000 years. And Judas, by his traitorous act, has died and went to his own place, the Bible says. Mary has found a place in our hearts, and Judas has went to his own place. In John chapter 12, in verse number 3, we have witnessed one of the greatest acts of devotion and faith and love. It is a great act. It is a great motion of worship. But behind a beautiful rose bush lies a serpent. It reminds us, really, this whole scene in John 12 reminds us of the 23rd Psalm. Thou preparest before me, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Do the two not seem to complement one another? I mean, here a table has been set for the Lord Jesus Christ, a banquet set for Jesus Christ, but it is in the presence of his enemies, and his head was anointed with oil. The murmuring of Judas right after the worship of Mary is significant, and it is typical. A true appraisal of Christ, a true appraisal of who Christ is, always brings out the hatred of those who are of Satan. The wise men from the east worshiped Jesus as a small child. Immediately, Herod sought to slay him. No sooner had God the Father proclaimed Jesus, his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased, when Satan rose up and assailed him for 40 days in the wilderness. Over and over in the Gospels, even in the epistles, when Jesus is exalted, Satan raises his ugly head. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the same is true today. When much is made of Jesus Christ, And when the gospel is preached true and faithfully, and when people are exalting the Lord Jesus Christ in the proper way, I believe that it raises the ire and the anger of Satan. And I believe that when people truly worship God and the gospel is genuinely preached, I believe that Satan will not sit by idle, but he will respond. He will respond. I think we see it over and over in the gospels and even in the epistles. And so Mary, in a tremendous way, worships the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately, there's opposition from Judas Iscariot. Mark 14:4 tells us that some of them had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Why was this perfume, this precious perfume, wasted? You kind of want to ask those disciples, did that sound bad when you said it out loud? You kind of want to ask them that, don't you? When they said, why the waste? Why has this been wasted and poured over Jesus' head? Why is this wasted? And you want to kind of ask them, did that sound bad when you said it out loud? You know, there are some things you say in your head, they sound good, and then you verbalize it and you say it out loud, and it's like, oh, that's bad. That wasn't good. That wasn't good. And I mean, they're saying the waste, that he's wasted. Listen. Love is never wasted. You showing love is never, ever, ever wasted. You showing generosity, you being generous, is never, ever, ever wasted. Kindness is never wasted. Devotion to Jesus Christ, never wasted. Sacrifice, never wasted. Giving, never, ever wasted. What we need to do is we need to learn to give out of love and kindness and concern. We need to learn to give without expecting recompense. Without expect, you know, it, one of these things, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. A lot of people, when they're generous, when they're kind, when they're loving, when they're giving, they do it expecting something in return. We need to learn to give out of love and give out of kindness and give out of concern and learn to give without attaching strings to it. And we need to learn to give and walk away. Because it's not wasted. Now you might waste your money on something frivolous, something foolish. Absolutely. You buy something and you realize shortly after that was a waste of money. You do something, spend money, and realize that was a waste of time and money. We waste money, but not when we're giving, not when we're giving out of kindness, not when we're loving someone, not when we're being generous, not when we're helping. That is never, ever wasted. Learn to give without strings and learn to give and walk away. I give to people in need probably 75% of the time. And I'm approached all the time. Approached at gas stations, approached on the street. I've been approached over and over and over again. There are those people that stand on the street corner. And of course, the skeptic in me, you know, always thinks the worst of people and that they're conning me and if I help them, I'm a dope and I'm a sucker. And my granddad said there was a sucker born every minute, and I'm probably one of those. I can't begin to tell you how many gas tanks I've filled for people, how many groceries I've paid for, strangers. I've helped people a lot. I got a kind of a lesson early in my ministry here. Somehow, and I don't remember how the meeting occurred, I don't remember what happened, but somehow a fella laid on me a sob story about needing a bus fare to Florida to see his dying mother. Now, there are some stories you just learn, you know, there are some stories you just learn that probably aren't real, okay? And I don't know, I went and bought him a bus ticket. And I met up with him and I gave him the bus ticket from Morgantown down to Florida. But I was suspicious the whole time. And it was aggravating me, knowing whether I was duped and taken advantage of or what. And so you'll never guess what I did. I backed my car into a used car lot right across from the bus station here in Morgantown. And I slunk down to my seat and made my vehicle look like all the other used vehicles. And I sat and watched that bus terminal for an hour and a half. And that bus came and loaded up and left, and that joker was not on the bus. And I was fuming. I mean, I was livid. And I went across to the bus station. I went up to the counter. And I said, is there any way that a person can take a bus ticket and cash it back in? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it seems as though that's what he did. Well, the interesting thing about that is, within a week and a half, God had, and that was the early days here in which money was very scarce for me and my family. And God had blessed our family threefold from what I gave that fellow for a bus ticket. Threefold God had blessed us. But I wasn't about to drop it. I continued to complain about it. Even though God had blessed me with unexpected money from different sources three times. Until I was complaining one time and a preacher friend of mine said, hey, listen, maybe we could just go back. Wouldn't it be great if we could go back and you could get your money back? And guess what? God could get his threefold blessing back from you. And I'm like, oh, wow. And my wife talked to me and she told me and taught me, listen, if you give, just give and walk away. Just give. Don't attach strings to it. Don't hang out in used car parking lots and spy out on bus stations. If you're inclined to give, just give and give as unto the Lord. And it's never, my friends, it is never wasted. It is never wasted. I don't care what they do with it. You have given as unto the Lord. You have given in kindness. You have given out of generosity. You have given out of love. You have given out of concern. You have given. It is not wasted. Giving to God is never a waste. Giving to God's people is never a waste. And giving to those who claim they have need is never a waste. Philippians 4 and 18, but I have all, the Apostle Paul says, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now watch this. Paul said, I'm full. The things that you have sent to me, they are an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. If you give generously out of love and kindness and concern, you give to God, you give to God's people, you give to those in need, it is a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, and it is well-pleasing to God. Just learn to give and walk away. It is not a waste. It is not a waste. I'm not going to promise you that God will bless you threefold, but it's not a waste. Judas had no love for Jesus. And that's why it's impossible for him to appreciate what Mary has done. having lived in close contact with Jesus for 3 years, the love of money still ruled his heart. He loved Jesus in word only and not in his heart. Judas loved money in his heart. He loved Jesus only by an outward profession. And there are many profession Christians today who were infected with what Judas had. They claim to be Christians, but they just do not understand the love and zeal and devotion that others have toward Jesus Christ. Something is deeply wrong if you claim to be a Christian, and yet you look at deeply devoted Christians as fanatics. Do you hear me now? I'm almost done. There's something wrong if you claim to be a Christian, and yet you look at deeply devoted Christians and you call them fanatics. If you claim to be a Christian and you think that devoted, zealous Christians are wasting their lives, you need to reevaluate your claim of being a Christian. I mean, if you claim to be a Christian, if you really are a Christian, if you are really genuinely a Christian, you understand the love of Christians to their God. You understand the worship of believers to their Savior. If you really are a Christian, you understand the zeal and devotion that Christians have toward the things of the Lord. You understand it. If you claim to be a Christian and you don't understand that zeal, that love, that devotion, that worship, you don't understand that, and you look at that as a waste of time, a waste of energy, a waste of money, then you need to reevaluate whether you are a Christian. Because I don't think you are. To the genuine Christians in the room, don't be deterred when another so-called Christian mocks you and ridicules you for your devotion. If you are a real Christian this morning, do not be deterred when another so-called Christian mocks your zeal and your generosity and your worship and your love to Jesus Christ. Don't be deterred. They don't understand because they don't know the same God you know. Amen. They mock you and make fun of you. They say they're a Christian, but they mock and make fun of you and your devotion and your zeal and your love and your worship because they don't know the same God you know. Their God is not worth wasting all that love on. Their God is obviously not worth wasting all that devotion on. Their God is obviously not, he is not worth wasting all that money on. Their God is not. Obviously and evidently. But our God and his beloved Son Jesus Christ are worth all love and all devotion and all worship and all zeal and all commitment. But Judas didn't love the Lord. He didn't love the Lord. Oh, he was with him practically every step of the way for 3 years. But what was in his heart was not love to Jesus Christ. What was in his heart was love for money. And what a contrast between him and Mary. What a contrast. May God bless the teaching and preaching of his holy and precious word this morning. And may God bless his little flock here at Bethaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would add your blessings to the preaching and the teaching of your word. Lord, do with it whatever you will, with whomever you will. We just pray that it would not return void, but that it would accomplish all that you desire it to accomplish. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless the church.